I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. And today on the show, we've got Must Hear Music with Billboard's deputy editor, digital, Joe Lynch. As always, Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. And in addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. But before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast and all of our children like Must Hear Music, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. So today on Must Hear Music, Joe and the team will be chatting about new music from Pusha T, Christina Aguilera, and Demi Lovato on their Big Fiery collaboration, and J Balvin. Pusha T, you may have heard that he's in the news lately with his back-and-forth beef with Drake. It'll be interesting to see how that affects his album on next week's Billboard 200 album chart. Right now, it looks like it's going to debut in the top five. Of course, this Pusha T album is called Daytona, and it's only actually a slim seven songs, believe it or not. But still, it could actually debut in the top five. That will give him his second top 10 album. And then, of course, next month, we are scheduled to get, next month meaning June, next month we are scheduled to get the new Drake album. So how big will Drake be when it comes out? Well, let's focus on Pusha T first. Let's hear all about his new music and his new album on Must Hear Music.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music podcast. My name is Joe Lynch. I'm sitting here with Lindsay Havens.
Hello.
And Tatiana Sirisano.
Hi.
And how are you guys? How are you guys on this fine day?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
It's been a day, but we're doing good.
Off to a real strong start with this.
Yep.
Well, before we dive into it, I wanted to say stick around after we chat. We have, I think, six songs we're going to talk about. And then I have an interview with Sadie Dupuy, the lead singer of Speedy Ortiz, who have a new album, Twerpverse, out, which is excellent. It's, I mean, she had a solo album, Sad 13, which was very good.
Yeah.
And but now Speedy Ortiz is back, which is like the slightly more rockin' side of her sonic palette. But she kind of brings in some of the like electronics that were on her solo album.
I need to listen.
It's really good. It's really good.
I should mention Joe's t-shirt for those who can't see.
I was about to say,
all
very
of you.
Important to know.
Yeah, I bought the t-shirt. I saw them in concert. I've seen them a few times, but
it's
I was
a fun
like,
shirt.
It's a really good shirt. Yeah,
it is good.
I don't even know what's.
It kind of looks like you colored it with crayon yourself.
It does. Yeah, it looks like it's like a mermaid situation.
Yeah,
it's good. Good shirt. Good album. Good interview coming up at the end of this podcast.
What else do you need?
Triple threat. All right. Let's start with the thing that everyone's talking about, or at least in the music world, which is the new Pusha T EP plus a diss track.
Oh, man.
But so it's Daytona, Pusha T's new EP, or is it an album? What are we calling
considered
this?
An album? So
21-minute album. All right.
Yeah, all of
what
the,
will they think of next?
All of the albums that Kanye is producing have seven tracks on
right.
them. So I think they're all considered albums regardless of the fact that they only have seven songs and they might be very short.
Yeah.
So
But anyways, though, yeah. Thanks for clearing that up.
I've been like so deeply Kanye entrenched in
that's
everything
true. You have.
Music lately.
Yeah, you've been working true. On that thing for the magazine.
Oh, yeah.
You look like it. You look like you've really been enjoying that. Anyways, so the album, I'm never going to get, whatever, it's 21
Call it
minutes.
What you
it's
want.
It's an EP.
Yeah.
Has, basically everyone's talking about it because there's like a Drake diss on it, and then Drake responded, and then Pusha responded again, and now they're back and forth on Twitter.
Drake has a kid is the takeaway.
The kid, yeah, Drake has a child that I thought we knew about to begin with. Maybe I
think people did, but it was never like this blown up, really.
Yeah, it was never like confirmed, or maybe it was rumored or something. But doing what we do here, since this is the Must Hear Music, not the Must Hear Hot Goss podcast.
Also a great podcast idea, though.
Yeah, I'm going to get on that.
I would listen.
I wanted to focus on a song that I just thought was really fantastic and moving. So from Daytona, it's Santeria. I think, I forget if it's like the fifth or sixth track. But it's towards the last half. It's this really moving song. So Carl Lamar, who's our hip-hop editor, did a fantastic, really wide-ranging interview with Pusha last week that delved into Daytona and also specifically talked about this song where someone in his circle, kind of his tour manager, Davon, was murdered 3 years ago. And this song is kind of him coming to grips with it. Santeria is this kind of Afro-Cuban religious, I can't think of the right word, let's just say thing, I'm just going to say thing, that has influences of Catholicism, kind of one of those just like hybrid things, but it involves like speaking to spirits. So, you know, this is a track kind of addressed to someone very close to him who was killed 3 years ago. It's really lovely. It's not like a lovely song, but it's just really heartfelt and moving. And honest, like a lot of times, you know, there'll be songs to someone who's died and they kind of get very saccharine. And this is pretty realistic. This is him kind of like meditating on the fact that like when he was alive, he didn't take him or he took him for granted. You know, as someone who was working for him, he would frequently yell at him. He would curse him out. And, you know, and that's just how life works. Like someone's working for you. You're in a high stress situation. Like naturally you're going to, you know, you're a rapper. You're going to be yelling at your tour manager or your lawyer at some point. And then, you know, but then they die suddenly and you realize like, oh, fuck, I excuse that one. you're like, you know, I haven't made, you know, I haven't kind of made peace with this person because I was expecting, you know, there always to be the next time where you could be like, oh, hey, sorry, I blew up at you. Yeah. So it's really, it's just really adult and mature and like not the kind of things you hear spoken about in mainstream music, you know, usually not to like go back two decades, but usually when someone dies, you know, you get something more like Puffy, I'll Be Missing You, which is just a very like straightforward, like you're dead and it's sad.
Yeah,
it,
this totally is different from this,
this really has a lot of nuance to it. But what did you guys think about Santeria?
Well, like we were talking about before, I think Daytona is obviously such like a charged album in so many ways, from the Drake drama to the cover art even. So Santeria really stood out to me too as something that's like, it's Pusha's own story. It's kind of like not involving anyone else and it's so raw and personal. So I was also really impressed by it. I really liked it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, this album is great. I'm actually a fan of the fact that it's only seven tracks because it's really accessible to get through all of it.
Yeah,
and like the way it, I don't know, like the cohesiveness of the track list is amazing if you listen all the way through, the way they just flow into one another. But this one did really stand out for all the reasons that you said. I mean, it's just a very special song, especially to hear from someone like Pusha. And like you just said, Tati, especially to hear from him right now. This is sort of one that like rises above all of the surface level drama.
Right.
And I think that's really appreciated. I also love the guest vocals that are in Spanish.
Yeah, I think I was wondering unexpected. Who, like what sample or so, whatever that is. Did you look it up?
Yeah, but did you too? Because then I want you to take this one because I don't know how to pronounce it.
Well, neither do I. It's spelled 070 shake.
Right.
But I don't know if it's
like, probably like 070 shake or something. I don't know.
So, but I'm not exactly. I don't know.
But
how to pronounce
they're also signed to Good Music, which makes sense. But
okay,
I'd never heard of them before.
Yeah,
it's really good
lovely.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to some of it. So Pusha T, Santeria, Santeria, excuse me.
Whoa. like Santeria happened. Sounds like a disease.
Yeah. Anyways, here it is from Pusha's Daytona album.
At the Kremlin, searching for the green like a gremlin. Presidential emblem, presidential tint on the shit that I am driven in. Woo! I just place orders and drop dollars. Rottweilers roam the grounds, the Glock hollers. The three of y'all too accessible. Seen all the wrong moves, watching the untouchables. We don't do vegetables, niggas get flatlined. Welcome all beef, then we heat them with flat irons. Your plans are back fine. Think of double crossing the priest. Hail Mary, repeat.
All right, that was new Pusha. Let's do, actually, I forget who picked this, but Christina Aguilera and Demi Lovato,
yes.
Fall in Line.
Is
that?
Oh my God.
Lindsay.
That's a Lindsay pick.
Yeah. You guys, I listen to this song and find myself suddenly standing up.
That's such a good way to describe it, though.
This song is insane. Like, how can you not get so into it? It's like a belt off between two of...
I don't stand up when I get excited, but okay.
I didn't know I did until I found myself doing it to this song. I don't know. I love Demi. I love Christina. They just, like, melt one another's faces off throughout this entire song. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they live debuted at the Billboard Music Awards is obviously something to shout out. That was mm-hmm. cool. But, yeah, it's just... I love how Christina opens it by saying, like, listen closely, little girls... Even though she knows that it's not just addressed to little girls, this is something that can be implemented and, you know, picked apart by everyone. And then my other favorite line is, I think Demi says it, she's like, God forbid you know your own way home. Just making fun of little things like chivalry, sure, like it's sweet to walk someone home, but like, also, you know how to get home, you know? Mm-hmm. Just like, the whole thing is very tongue-in-cheek, but in a way that still gets the message across that this is like
if
a
someone
rallying.
Hasn't heard it, what would you say the overall message is?
It's a like a feminist anthem for sure. I don't want to use the word feminist. It's a women's anthem. Yeah. Just like a rallying song about, you know, like not falling in line, even though that's the title, just about doing your own thing. And they both say how they've never been one to do that. They've sort of like stepped out of the norm or what's expected.
Yeah. And I also feel like... now that this we're sort of in this new wave of feminism, I feel like there are some artists that will like sort of take advantage of that and put out a song just because they feel like it's the right. thing that's in. But this was not that. Like, this felt so genuine, and there was something just very powerful about seeing these two women singing together with such like crazy, incredible voices.
Yeah.
And with such a good message. I mean, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's... I like, so it's from coming from Liberation, which we did a cover story with Christina Aguilera about her.
Yeah, we did.
Upcoming album. Yeah, we did. I like the whole, in addition to what you guys said, that, you know, it's called Fall in Line, and then they add in kind of like army marching orders, the like 1, 2, 3, 4, like,
oh, yeah.
Kind of like an army. I'm going to say commandant, but that's definitely not the word.
Yeah, but
someone who works
mean.
In the army.
Yeah.
Yelling orders at
right.
them. Obviously a world I'm very familiar with. But yeah, so, yeah, and I like that. That's a good addition. You know, I mean, the one thing, I like it. One thing I will say is we were watching it in the office and someone was like, at the end of it, they were like, it just kind of sounds like they're screaming at each other.
I remember that too.
I remember that too, yeah.
Which they are at one
point. It's sort of fair. At one point, it is just like two people like wailing at each other. I mean, with impeccable, you know, vocal pitch, but there is a little bit of that.
Definitely.
But it's not as show-off-y as like, usually when you hear that, then you're like, oh, it's just two like powerhouse vocalists like flaunting it with like no regard kind of for melody.
That's what I thought it was gonna
be. And this is not
wasn't.
That.
Yeah.
Like, it really, it still is grounded in the song.
Well, right. That's the exact point I was gonna make too. It just makes sense. Like, it's almost like a moment of like release or like aggression about everything they're singing about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I will defend this song.
Yeah. You can sit down now.
All
right,
yeah.
Standing
sorry.
Up right now.
I'm standing on top of the table.
All right, well, let's listen to it. So it's Christina Aguilera. I think it's, I don't know if it's and or featuring Demi Lovato, but
I think
a mystery for
I think
the ages.
And. Yeah. Who knows?
Anyways, Fall in Line. Let's listen to it.
Show some skin.
All right, that was new Extina and Demi. Let's do a Tati pick then.
Yeah.
So what do we have here? We have J Balvin, the song, what is it, Cuando Tu Quieras?
Yes, Cuando Tu Quieras.
Quieras.
It's, I think, whenever you want, right?
I think, yes, that's what I loosely translated to in my limited and forgotten knowledge.
My, like, high school Spanish class.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm obsessed with the whole new J Balvin album, Vibras. Mm-hmm. It's so, so good. And I kind of couldn't pick a song from that to talk about here, but I chose this one because I think it's very representative about, like, how he's kind of a more experimental Latin artist. Obviously, the Latin sound is, like, really, really huge right now, but he's one of those people that's kind of even, like, ahead of that in the future, like, looking at where that type of sound is going next. So this song, it's just so interesting. It has, like, sort of trap vibes. It has, like, electronic. I love the female vocal that's in there that I was trying to figure out who it was and I couldn't find credits anywhere, but I love it. So whoever that is. But yeah, I just think it's honestly a jam.
Yeah, totally.
And I really like what Balvin is doing, so...
Yeah, I think this album is great. I love the album art. It's like the cutest little deconstructed monster.
It's so
I don't
cute.
Even know. but yeah, I mean, this song is super catchy. I'm just really happy to hear, even though Mi Gente is on the album, I'm happy to hear that overall it's pretty diverse from that.
It's super diverse from that, yeah.
Yeah, which I think is really nice to know that, you know, that was like a hit that quote unquote broke him. He's been around for a while, but it's nice to know that he didn't dip deeper into that. He still did what he wanted to do on his album.
Yeah, I really like the song. I mean, I agree with what you said. I think it's interesting in terms of, like, kind of him being on the more, like, pushing things forward in terms of progressive sounds. Yeah, usually you don't hear, like, he does kind of, like, a looped vocal thing. He's, like, having a little fun with noises. There is, like, sort of one of those... We've talked about in this podcast before. No, like, those noises...
I just picture him in the studio, like, clicking buttons.
That kind of, like, up vocal thing that, like, has been on everything from, like, slow hands to
the little, like,
other... But it's not a loop, but it's kind of, like,
Something like that.
There's a little one of those on there.
So, like, it's like a swoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just woke myself up with that.
Yeah. She's standing again. Oh, my God. No, I like it a lot. And the cover art reminds me of, and if there's a sort of cult famous Japanese horror film called Houseu, and it looks a lot like that.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about,
I would say look it up.
To.
Compare the cover of J Balvin's Vibras to Houseu.
Who knows?
I think
maybe
there's
it's
a similarity there.
Purpose.
It might be. It really might be. But yeah, so were you guys did you see him when he was in the office?
Yes.
How was that? Cause I was busy, so I missed it very sadly.
We get it. You're busy.
I might just be a little busier than you. I can't hang out with every star that waltzes in the door.
He was great.
He was awesome. Yeah. He's like the most humble person I've ever met.
Yeah.
He called himself an emerging artist, which was cute.
Oh,
I was like, you're not emerging.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah. And he also, I have to give a shout out to his Louis Vuitton tracksuit, which was great.
Oh, man.
As it would be. Yeah, he had a great outfit. But
yeah. It sounds like you're talking about me, most humble person you've met, Louis Vuitton tracksuit. Like,
just
so many similarities.
Obviously, so similar.
my head.
All right, well, let's listen to it. J Balvin, song is Cuando Tu Quieras, and this is from Vibras.
Baby, de todo eres la mejor. Cuerpo perfecto y cara linda sin error. Con poca ropa por si acaso hace calor. Que yo quiero que tú subas y bajes como elevador, elevador. Ponte de frente, ya es evidente.
All right, let's do... What else
Another
do we have?
Pick? Yeah.
I want to do... No, the other Tati pick. I want to do Maggie Rogers' Falling Water.
Yes.
Love her. But
love
you talk about this song.
Sure. So she's back. Yay. with a very Maggie Rogers song.
Yeah.
it's funny. I was actually, I remember somebody brought up, like, talking to her about her upcoming work and her saying that it was very different from her previous stuff, which was interesting because the song is, like, very much in line with her usual work. But yeah. I still love it. I mean, it's, I don't even have, like, that much deep stuff to say about it. I just think it's a really beautiful song. And she, for what it's worth, like, she does nail that specific sound that she's created for herself. It's, like, this folksy, almost, like, wind chimey sound.
I like that.
And her voice is just gorgeous, so...
Yeah, I did. I noticed on the song she seems to be using her voice more. I feel like that's one of the things she's figured
that's
out the most
true.
In between her EP and this song. Like, there's just a little more power and gust to it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm Maggie Rogers, to me, I love her, and I'm surprised I'm not, like, sick of her yet. Because I feel like at this point she's just, like, here. You know, like, you know what to get from Maggie Rogers. She's on the festival circuit. She's... Yeah. She, like, is popping up places now with The National on stage. I feel like
but
she's
she
just...
is an emerging artist still. Like,
but that's why it's so weird, because she is, but at the same time, I feel like she's been around
while.
For so long.
Yeah,
it's only been, what, like 2 years since
years,
Alaska?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she's just, like, in this weird lane right now. I feel like we all think she's been around forever just because Alaska lived the longest life. Like, people kept rediscovering the Pharrell story over and over.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not mad that she's doing more of the same, because I, like you said, I love what she does, and it's her own sound. But I am curious to hear if the album is more different.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Like promised.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, I mean, I really like, I still, excuse me, I still love Alaska. I'm not sick of it. I saw her live for the first time earlier this year. It was fantastic. It's just a lane I like. It's sort of like folky songcraft, but electronic tinges, and that's something I really enjoy. Those kind of like early Ellie Goulding. And I just feel like there are plenty of people doing that, but there's not, I guess, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like there's that many people doing it. Like, or at least
she's
they're
sort of
not
in
like
her
breaking
own lane.
Through. Yeah, she feels like sort of providing something fresh for me.
Yeah.
So I'm excited just to hear more. And I mean, I sort of agree with what you're either saying or implying, though, that it's similar to what we've heard, and I'd be happy to hear something that shows a little more like experimentation. But or maybe the other way, like, maybe do we want her to go and just like the total like Max Martin pop route? And
no.
All right. So there we go.
Right. Like, no. That's the thing. Like, she has a good thing going. I don't know if I want her to change it. I don't know.
I swear. I feel like I read this or heard this somewhere that they wanted to put her with Max Martin and that didn't interest her.
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, that's cool.
I could have just made that up, though.
You probably did. But then again, I mean, you know, Robin's Body Talk, like, that has a Max Martin song, and that's still one of the most, like, progressive, weird pop albums of the last 10 years.
That's true. So no hate to Max Martin.
Yeah, no, he's good. One of my favorite Maxes.
Oh, yeah.
certainly. Anyways, enough about this. So Maggie Rogers, Falling Water, let's listen to it.
And it's getting harder.
All right, that was New Maggie Rogers. Let's do another one of my picks. So I have Courtney Barnett, song called Charity from her new album, whose title I don't remember. What's the new album?
I actually don't remember it either.
Me neither.
Anyways, though, I will
Nameless
look it up.
Faceless? That, I know that's a song on the album.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. But anyway, so
tell me you're pretty. Tell me I'm pretty.
Let's just
I need
keep
to know.
Throwing out titles.
Now it's gonna bother me.
Tell me
I'm pretty.
Tell me how you really feel.
Tell me how you really feel. Is Tell Me I'm Pretty a song?
Right. I think you just want to be told
Damn
you're pretty.
It. Well, can someone just tell me that already?
You're pretty, Lindsay. Yeah. All right.
Gosh, a girl's got to really dig.
Yeah. All right. So, wow, that was quite a diversion. So, Courtney Barnett, Charity, from new album. So, this is her second album as Courtney Barnett. She had an album not really that long ago with Kurt Vile that we talked about and had mixed feelings about. For me, that album, Lot of Sea Lice, was a little too much of him, and not in a bad way. I like Kurt Vile a lot, but yeah. I wanted to hear more of kind of her, like she has a bit of a punky energy sometimes, and he's really more laid back. And yes, it was a very laid back album, their collaboration. So I'm happy with this one. I mean, there's nothing quite as really loud as I'm really just blanking.
Pedestrian at Best.
Yes, Pedestrian at Best from the first album. There's nothing that like really rocks that hard, but Charity is, I think, the third song on the album, and I really like it because it just has a little more like kind of like chugging forward energy that we didn't get from her last collaborative album. I mean, she still like has that sort of like slacker persona. You know, like there's a bit of a lackadaisical drawl in her voice. You know, the lyrics are things like, you don't have to pretend you're not scared. Everyone's just as terrified as you.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely like that 90s, like Generation X, not that she is a member of that, but styled lyrics. It's kind of offset by the fact that the music has some forward motion, which reminds me a bit of like Stephen Malkmus at his best, when there's this really kind of like, he sounds like he doesn't care the way he's delivering the lyrics, but the music has a lot of like propulsion to it.
It's a very good way to describe
her. Yeah, you just broke that down very well.
Thank you. Courtney Barnett, Charity. What did you guys think?
I don't know if I could dot that explanation. Well, one thing I would add is I like that she always has a little bit of humor in her lyrics. So even though like some of these topics can be sort of depressing and dark, they're like funny. Like there's a part where she sings like, oh, everything's amazing or something like that, but it's like obviously sarcastic.
I was gonna mention the same thing.
Yeah,
she's,
and it's
like you must
funny.
Be having so much fun,
right?
Like you could hear her saying it like that,
right? So I like that.
I think this is a good song to highlight because overall I would say that this album's a little darker almost than her debut. I feel like you hear some of Kurt Vile's influence on this too, like a little leftover from their collaboration, just because some of it is slower and it doesn't hit quite as hard as, like we said, Pedestrian at Best, but I still love it. I also think I should have written this down. I forgot what song it is, but one of them's somewhat political of her. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. I think she's doing a little more with the lyrics on this one. The first album, they were super funny. One was about roadkill, you know. This one, she's like stepping it up a notch.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I'm not like, it's not like, for me, it's not like a total home run, this album, but I'm listening to it a lot, so.
Right. Same.
All right. Same. Cool. So Courtney Barnett, the song's called Charity. All right, next and I think last, we have Nikki. Song is Newsflash with an exclamation point. And this is a Lindsay pick.
This song is so fun.
I don't know anything about this artist, so.
Let me tell you about her.
So tell me.
So Nikki, she's 19 years old.
She's 19?
Yes. What? I cannot, all of the music I'm listening to right now is by like 19 and 20 year olds.
Wow.
So she fits in that.
Once you're a drinking age, your talent is gone. Basically.
Apparently, yeah. Once you can legally drink, you lose all your skill. But so anyway, she's a 19-year-old Indonesian artist and producer. She I would also call her like an MC almost, the way that she at least delivers this track.
Mm-hmm.
This is her debut EP. She signed to 88 Rising, which is a collective that a lot of us here are pretty interested in. They have Rich Brian. They have...
Joji, right?
Yes, they have Joji.
How you say
it? Yep. And a few other big names. They're all working together on something upcoming. But yeah, this is her debut EP, Zephyr. And this was the single. So they released the EP with the video for this at the same time. But I don't know. This is like a very fun song. I know Tati was jamming out to it the other day.
I have not stopped listening to it.
Yeah.
But I can't believe she's 19. I mean, I wish I had that much insight into relationships at 19. Like,
right?
When she's, the way she talks, I'm like, I wish.
She's like, newsflash, I don't need you.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Nikki.
Yeah. And it's funny, Joe, how you like mentioned with the exclamation point, because I feel like that's actually important to the song.
It, yeah.
It
that
is.
She's kind of like, newsflash. Like,
yeah.
It's. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also love the part where she like lists off like these girls' names. I feel like that's a thing that's been done in like 90s rap before.
Mm-hmm.
And like she kind of evokes that, and it's cool. And this is like random, but I also really like the like, is it like a trumpet or like, you know what I'm talking about? There's like a horn sort of sound. It reminded me a little bit of Whitney.
Oh.
Hmm. You know? I'm talking about.
I can see that, yeah.
Whitney, the rock band?
Yes, we, Whitney, okay. My favorite Chicago rock band.
I feel like
band.
We have to make that clear, because when I hear Whitney, I'm thinking.
I actually bought a t-shirt of theirs last night.
Yeah.
Always on my mind.
They have good merch.
Such good merch.
But anyway.
I believe we meant a different Whitney.
No, I meant Whitney the rock band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, they use this sort of, like, trumpet
Wait,
sound.
I thought we were being sarcastic. You actually meant, okay.
Now I'm confused.
So we were talking about Whitney, the Chicago rock band. Yes.
Yes, not
I
Whitney
do
Houston.
See what you mean.
Okay. Anyway, there's like an instrument in there. It kind of sounds like a trumpet, but it's really lovely. And that's all I wanted to say about that.
Yeah, I liked this. I like this a lot. It reminds me of kind of the combination of like kind of the like it's a little Baroque pop, a little indie Baroque pop mixed with like a more R&B beat.
Yeah.
Which kind of reminded me of some of Gabriel Garzón Montano's stuff.
Ooh.
We've talked about on this podcast before, I believe.
Interesting comparison.
It's not like it's not a dead ringer in terms of sound, but it just it sort of scratched a similar itch for me,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, just in terms of like fusing together some different things
and genres that you don't often hear. Like, that's not a typical thing people are doing.
Yeah.
Like, wait, who were we talking about earlier? Oh, well, like Maggie Rogers. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, like sort of like what the things she's combining, like we've heard that a few times, but this is
right.
Pretty innovative, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah.
And 19 at that. So yeah.
So crazy.
I feel so unaccomplished.
Yeah.
Yep. Same. All right. So it's Nikki, which is N-I-K-I, all caps.
All caps.
Mm-hmm.
And then Newsflash is the song.
Can do better than you. Like bitches, I'm proud as bubbly. I lay down the ugly. I roll in my grave just while you touch me. How you look already? I say I love you, baby. Baby, so shady. Extra shade ain't even necessary.
All right, so that was our news flash. and in an actual news flash, stick around right now for a chat with Speedy Ortiz. Before we do that, thank you, Lindsay and Tati, for swinging through the Must Hear Music podcast.
As we do.
Sharing your thoughts, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
All right. Thank you for listening. And here is my chat with Sadie from Speedy Ortiz.
I want to know what kind of girl you like. I want to know what kind of girl you like.
All right, hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. My name is Joe Lynch, and I'm here with Sadie Dupuis of Speedy Ortiz.
Hi, you forgot which project I was here for.
I was like, wait, are we here for Sad 13? Nope, we're back to
I can't
to
even you. Remember.
Yeah, well, that actually, we might as well just talk about that quick. So your last album was as Sad 13.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw you was, and that was it for this podcast?
It was for this podcast, this exact same podcast.
One. Nice.
And now you're back with Speedy Ortiz.
Yes.
So what, I mean, I guess, you know, why back to Speedy? You know, what was the impetus?
I missed my bandmates, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice to play with people you've been playing with for 7 years. Is it that long? Maybe like six.
Yeah, I think that's
somewhere in there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you would know better than I. But.
Oh, maybe.
But yeah, I mean, so why, I guess when you're writing these songs, is it any different to be like, all right, now I have to write a Speedy song versus, you know, like a solo thing?
I think most of the stuff for the solo record I wrote in a really short time period, mm-hmm. specifically writing it for a solo record.
Yeah.
But there were a couple songs that I wrote around that time that I was like, this is too good to use for this. Like, mm-hmm. it'd be more fun with my bandmates. So there is actually, I think, one song on the new Speedy record that was a demo for Sad 13.
Okay.
And vice versa. Like, I think even on the Sad 13 record, there were some songs that I'd been thinking about doing for Speedy, and for whatever reason, they never worked out. So
right.
I put them on there.
Yeah.
So I think the big difference is, like, will it be good if I play everything and produce it? Or
yeah.
would it be served way better with, like, my very smart bandmates playing on
right.
it?
I mean, I've heard, so the album's Twerpverse,
yes.
the third Speedy. And I've heard, I think, three songs from it, and they're all great. I mean,
oh,
I always love Speedy.
Well, you should have the record.
I should have the record. No, I'm
Called
sure
out.
My email does, like, whenever I get
the promo box,
it just
links.
Goes right
goes
into
to
the promo junkyard.
Yep.
Yeah, it's impossible.
I had to promo jukebox for, I mean, people listening don't know what this is, maybe, but it's like how you send watermarked records.
Yeah.
And I needed to listen to something on the record the other day to figure out how to play it.
Yeah.
And I realized I didn't actually have it on my computer. So
That's
I had to
funny.
Promo jukebox myself the record.
That's pretty funny. Okay. All right. So I do have the album.
You've been called out.
I've been called out.
Well, I'm glad you like the three songs.
I love the three songs. And I wanted to talk about one of them because we're going to premiere it, the video for it. Villain.
Yes.
So, well, I mean, I want to talk about the video, but I guess lyrically wanted to talk about it first because it like the kind of message behind it reminded me of Get a Yes on
yeah.
the solo album. So,
and it predates Get a Yes by
oh, really?
Quite a few years.
Yeah.
I feel like I wrote this song and kind of had it shelved for a while. I wrote it in like 2014.
Okay.
So it's an old one that we're finally recording and doing. We've always mm-hmm. wanted to do something with, but took till now to figure out how to do it. So when I wrote Get a Yes, I was kind of like, this is the positive version of this other song that I never
right.
released. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like very like, I mean, I hate to use the word powerful because it seems so generic, but it is like, it's basically, you know, like you're talking about this guy who you say no to and he takes that as an all right. And it's like, what kind of world does this person live in where they look past your answers? That's interesting you wrote it 4 years ago, though, because it seems like especially timely now because like everyone.
Yeah.
Is
and it's funny, like
it.
We recorded it. So when we were recording this record, we recorded it all the way through in fall of 2016. And then mm-hmm. we kind of scrapped most of it and recorded new songs in
yeah.
February. So in between, there was an election that
right.
nobody was too happy with.
Yeah.
So that Villain is actually one of the songs that we had done the first time around.
Yeah.
So it's, it was important for us to record it and to put it out. And interesting, too, that I think so many other people have felt the imperative to share these kinds of stories now.
Right.
I think, like, Camp Cope, for example, had a mm-hmm. song on their record that's sort of similar, and obviously
yeah.
the Me Too movement.
Right.
So, I mean, of course it's sad that, like you said, so many people are conditioned from childhood to ignore people's answers.
Yeah.
But I think it's great that so many people are sharing stories and kind of finding community with one another and
yeah.
sort of looking in a real way at how to address these issues, not only amongst, like, the adults who have disregarded people's wants for so long, but also for like kids growing up and learning about consent and sex ed, which is like why I wrote Get a Yes. I was like, let's do a fun song about how important consent is. But I mean, it's also important to talk about the bad stuff too, I think.
I mean, I think that is what's so important, like what you mentioned with like kind of the next generation, because it is a conditioning thing.
Sure.
So it's kind of like, you know, like how early, you know, if you grow up with these movies where people, you know, just kind of like keep pushing themselves on someone and then it works, you're like, oh, I guess that's how these things work.
Yeah,
it's like,
it's
kind
funny
of...
there's another song on the record that's called Can I Kiss You, and it's sort of like satirizing the rom-com trope of the person who just keeps trying, and like at the end it's romantic because the other person finally gave in. It's not romantic, just listen to people.
Exactly, which ties back into what we were talking about just a second ago, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh my god.
Which is so
my
good.
Absolute favorite.
I know, it's such an incredible show. But without going down that rabbit hole, so the video is super interesting.
Yes.
You have a man with fish head.
Yes.
So what was the like concept behind that? Like, where did that come from?
Well, the director is our friend Al Schneider, who I actually went to summer camp with when I was a tiny little kid.
Nice.
We've known each other forever, and she did the My Dead Girl video for us a couple years ago that was all like David Lynch characters reinterpreted. So I kind of approached her with this song and was like, here's the song, here's what it's about, but we don't want to be super literal or heavy-handed with it. And she knows that we love doing genre stuff and monster stuff, and we kind of came up with this idea. I think they wanted to use an actual like movie monster that was copyrighted. What do you say?
I think it's copyrighted, not copywrit.
Copywrote. So we wound up doing this sort of like fish head, and we kind of liked that because it was, you know, gender ambiguous and could show that this stuff, you know, although a vast majority is cisgender men, but really it can be anyone who's ignoring your personal space and needs. And so she kind of had it that we're going through these various scenarios in which sometimes people put up with harassment and sometimes you've had enough and... very stylized, color blocked.
Yeah.
It was really fun to make.
The color blocking is incredible.
Yeah, she did such a cool job. Like, I showed up to shoot this and I knew she'd do something amazing, but just seeing it in action, it was so fun.
And did she pick out, like, you have those great glasses? The
kind
of, like,
she styled
sharp
it too.
Teachery. That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, good stuff.
Thank you.
But let's talk. So you brought some recommendations,
yes,
which I always appreciate.
Oh, we should start with the Go Team one because I feel like it's kind of related to the topic we were just talking about.
All right, let's start with. So yeah, the Go Team. The answer's no. Now what's the question?
Yeah, exactly. It's like this really poppy, cute, summery song that I think like the narrative's theoretically about someone turning down a proposal, but it's also the chorus. I really am digging into this philosophy, which is like, isn't it hard to say maybe it's, I think it's maybe for some but not for me, and it's like about saying no and like
that's a great
honoring line. When you want to say no and like doing that, something that certainly like any of us who are addicted to working like could learn from and for
that's
other reasons
true.
So I really like the song. I got to see them play it last night and I was losing it. It's so good.
They were great
were, it was like one of the best band performances I've ever seen, actually.
Wow.
I'd never seen them live, but everyone plays every single instrument. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, they're like a joyous explosion of energy, the Go Team.
I saw
them probably 7 years ago.
Yeah.
But it was so
still
good.
Still amazing.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear it's still amazing. And then the other one, one of the other ones, Alice in Wonderland featuring Buddy.
Yeah.
Cry.
I love
her. Yeah, she's great. I mean, there's like so few like female artists in the kind of like EDM space who like make festival headway and like actually get on the bill. And like she's one of them. So.
And her songs are also just so good. It's not just like vibe music. It's like really, really, really catchy.
Yeah.
And I picked this because her 2015 album, Run, is that what it's called, I think?
I don't remember, but I remember the
album. It was one of my favorite records that year.
Yeah.
And the other day, like this past weekend, I had a song stuck in my head from the moment I woke up until like 3 a.m. And I downloaded that app, SoundHound, where you like sing into the phone.
What?
So it'll guess what it can know what it is.
No,
it didn't work. It couldn't tell me. I made a voice memo and was texting friends like, what is this pop song? It's from a couple years ago. The person isn't American. I don't think these are the lyrics. Like,
trivia
what is it?
Game. Yeah.
And at like 3 a.m., I was like, oh my God, it's Alice in Wonderland. Like, I wonder what she's up to.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out she'd released this new record the day before.
Wow.
I hadn't heard this song. I hadn't seen any of the press for it, which is weird because I feel like there must have been a lot of it. She's pretty big.
Yeah.
So somehow I missed it all, but I love her and I love
this
new record.
But like the universe pinged you and was
like,
check out this song.
You better remember her right now.
Yeah. It's good. I like what is the chorus? I want to make a grown man cry.
But it's also like a cute like love song too.
Right. It's like, I love you. I want to have sex with you, but I want to make you cry too.
I believe it's, I just want to fuck you all the time.
I mean,
is cussing okay?
Cussing is fine. Yeah.
Okay.
It's too late now.
Cool.
No, it's totally acceptable.
Alice in Wonderland just wants to fuck him all the time.
Yeah, exactly. If it's a quote, then I feel like it's totally safe.
And she says that they both like lemonade and anime, and that's like why. It's adorable.
Yeah. It is. I mean, yeah, those things combined, very adorable.
Yes.
Are you an anime fan? Or
I definitely was a big anime head as a kid.
Yeah.
I have a custom guitar that I designed to look like Sailor Moon's guitar.
That's pretty extreme, but very cool.
Big like Tenchi Muyo fan. Like I was all over the Toonami.
Yeah, I have
scene.
To say, I dabbled. I wasn't in it
no?
a ton. Yeah,
The Sad 13 record's named after a character from Paranoia Agent, which is another.
I don't even know
anime.
That one. I know Neon Evangelion.
Yeah,
right. That one I saw a bit of
nice.
When I was a kid, and I liked that, but. Didn't go all the way.
I feel like I'd be lying to say I'm deep in the anime now because so many of my friends actually are like
right.
up with what's new.
Yeah. But you have other things to do.
I'd say like 1997 to like 2004.
Yeah.
I was in it.
A scholar.
I was going to the mall getting subtitled VHSs.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that was exactly it. It was so hard to get into.
Yeah.
You had to like buy all these VHS just to like.
Yeah. And the American versions would be like horribly dubbed and like censored and weird.
Yeah.
Homophobic ways.
Yes. And very, like, kind of violent. I remember a friend of mine whose parents were, like, too religious. Like, they would, like, look in his room for his anime, and he would, like, bring it to school, and I would have to hide
You'd
it
have
at
to
my
hide
house
it at home.
For days.
Wow.
Very strange. I still have a few
what
of those.
You're a good friend, though.
I am a
taking
yeah.
that contraband.
I took the contraband for him. Anyways, though. Okay, so the next song that you brought, I hadn't heard of this group, Sieve.
Yeah.
So
yeah, this was my like outlier.
Yeah. So tell me about Sieve.
So M from Sieve is used to be in a New York project called It's Cool, and also plays in the band Corey Flood from Philly, who are great. And this is the first song they've released. I think it's just so good. It's kind of that I don't know whatever wave of no wave we're on in Philly right now.
Right.
But I feel like they fit in really well with like Palm or like Old Maybe bands like
yeah.
that. So I really like the song.
I mean, I liked it. Yeah, I like it's. I kind of always yeah, like the unmelodic like speak
yeah.
sing thing.
But it's so like, it's like it's got that like cute element that Palberta kind of has too. Like
yeah,
it's a bop.
It is kind of it does have a groove. Like it's
yeah.
not melodic, but it has a bit of a groove to
yeah.
it. Yeah, bop is an interesting. I mean, I don't know.
I'm the only one who's gonna
I don't
call
know if
it
qualifies
a bop,
as
maybe,
bop.
But
maybe no wave bop.
Let's see.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the next.
Maybe someone out there will also find it a bop, and we can go to the gig together.
Right. Cool. Well, let's listen to that one. So Sieve, the song is of course, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. All right, that was Sieve, of course. That was No Wave Bop, courtesy of Sadie from Speedy Ortiz. Well,
it's my favorite kind of bop.
Yeah, it's the only kind, right?
Yeah.
Well, before I let you go, so the album, Twerp Verse, is there anything else you want to talk about with it? Or like, you
oh
know,
my gosh.
You feeling great to be back in band mode now?
Yeah, it's nice. We've been starting to play, because a lot of the songs we haven't ever done live before.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a move we made on the last record. I think that for us, like, starting with a studio version and then translating it to live just makes the arrangements way more interesting.
Yeah.
Which is different from how we did our first record. So
right.
This record, still kind of figuring out how to do it live. There's so many synths on it. And having toured with Sad 13 yeah. for the past year and a half, I'm like, I don't want to play a synth live anymore.
Yeah.
So now I've got all this... I have a whole pedal board for like making synth sounds on guitar, which really? Has been really, really fun. And
that seems like a lot could go wrong, though.
Yeah, there's more gear on stage than before. Heightened stress. Mike, yeah. our drummer, is playing with a sample pad, which he had never done mm-hmm. before this project.
That's kind of cool, though. I mean, I love synths. I'm a big synth supporter.
I mean, me too.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, so the album comes out. When does it come out?
Oh, April 27th.
All right,
I should know that. Right?
Yeah, I could have looked it up too. So Speedy Ortiz, Twerpverse, third album. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me over again.
It's always lovely to have you by. Yeah, exactly. And thanks for bringing song recommendations.
Oh, of course.
All right. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.